Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
We do. We go to VRTrader.com, and we have a promo code that gives you 50% off of any of our newsletters, and in particular, I've been talking about our still offering our annual forecast model report covering many markets. The promo code is 2022 half off, all lowercase, 2022 half off, and you enter that in the promo code slot on your order form. I also want to disclose that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice.
The IMF has put out a warning saying the growing U.S. deficit isn't just a threat to the U.S., it's a threat to the entire world economy. What's your take on it?
No question about it. And we keep, just covering up for ourselves. You know, it's just remarkable that it's been going on for so many decades. And, now you're seeing the frustration overseas with the BRICS nations trying to create, a whole other way of doing business and trying to exclude the U.S., which has been, pretty much irresponsible for years. And, of course, I don't think the European Central Bank is doing a great job either. But, the bottom line is, we have a lot of money moving into gold, and that could be a potential backing to a new currency. The debt, again, as I just mentioned, is out of sight here, and just a question of digitally printing new money, which can't go on forever. We just got ourselves into a real mess. At the same time, the stock market managed to go up in recent months, and I think a lot of this is manipulation. We've got the government in there, the plunge protection team, and all kinds of fun stuff that is really not talked about in the financial press, supporting the markets, maybe trying to cover up the tracks of what's really going on underneath. And we know other governments, and particularly Japan, have been manipulating stocks and buying stocks and ETFs for many, many years and supporting markets. So maybe they learn from us, and we just don't talk about it. But in any event, it's a big problem. But the same, it doesn't mean that, the dollar still can't go up. There's some, conversion factors with involving gold and accumulating gold and so forth with foreign central banks that could drive the U.S. dollar up, despite the fact that there's so many fundamentals that are weak underneath. I think ultimately, I can't predict whether the dollar is going to collapse or it'll just be supported by central banks converting into gold. And, there's just a whole mechanism there, which I really can't get in all the details of, that would support that type of scenario. But in any event, it's a mess out there. So how's it all going to play out? How's it all played out in the past? The central bankers come and just kept printing more money, covering up mistakes. The Federal Reserve has been, of course, raising or lowering interest rates has little to do with all this money printing and, misappropriation of funds and all these secret accounts and all the nonsense that goes on in the background. So, they just keep covering over their tracks by printing more money and or supporting or manipulating the markets. And when will it all blow up? Your guess is as good as mine. I'm just a trader. I follow the markets, if you can make a trade up or down, whether it's all going to blow up and go to zero, I doubt it. There's too many factors involved here. There's too many printing presses out there supporting the markets. I'm a bear right now for other reasons, technically in the market, but for the bottom line is, you know, we just have to call them as we see them.
Now, there are rumors the BRICS at their annual meeting in Russia in October will bring out some kind of alternative currency backed by gold. Would that be a good move on their part?
Well, you know, we really have no choice whether it's good or bad. I think the world is just fed up with the situation here in the U.S. and in Europe. I think your bottom line is, it's going to happen. You got China behind it. You got Russia behind it. A lot of gold out there potentially backing it. And a lot of anti-U.S. sentiment, for a lot of reasons over the years. I can't make a judgment whether it's good or bad. It's going to happen. I think it's just a question of all the nations ganging up on the U.S. and saying enough is enough with the way you've been conducting yourself financially. But look at the Federal Reserve. I mean, a bunch of clowns. I mean, Janet Yellen at the Treasury, she's a national disgrace. I mean, all the stuff that's going on with our fiscal and monetary policy over the, last few decades, in zero interest rates for a long time, then they jump up and create a lot of problems. The money supply, how that's being managed, the secret activities of the Fed and the Treasury. We've had discussions about this in previous interviews where there's a lot of actions they take in secret that we don't know about. The financial press is focused almost exclusively on what the interest rates are going to be. Are they going to go up? Are they going to go down? And it's such a joke because it's irrelevant to what's really going on out there. If the money supply is increasing or not increasing, whether they're supporting the stock market through manipulation, whether they're funneling money into places that we don't know about. I mean, it's just, there's so many areas we could go with this conversation. They're sitting there holding their breath. Gee, if the Fed lowers rates, that's great. Well, history says that when Fed usually starts to lower rates, you might get a bigger drop in the markets because something negative is really happening, and they were forced to lower rates just to save the markets or to encourage the markets. So I think that may happen. You may see rates come down later in the year, but it may not be for the reasons that the financial press is holding their breath for. It could be because there's some catastrophe, another black swan event, financial crisis, more war than we already have, a geocosmic event. Who knows what it is? I've been talking about potential black swans here for several months on this broadcast, and we've seen several, and the list just keeps going on and on. So, some one of these could be so severe that that may trigger the Fed to lower rates, hoping to encourage the markets. But again, history says when that happens, usually the market's going into a tailspin and they're forced to do it or think that by doing it, that'll help the markets. I'm not too optimistic. Right now, I'm a bear. I think we're going down. The Dow potentially just on a near-term basis, 1,500 to 2,000 points, in my opinion. But again, we'll take it a day at a time.
Is the geopolitical deal right now the real reason people are going to gold despite the manipulation to keep prices down?
Well, people have been going to gold for that reason for decades, and we've seen gold all over the whole place. And we also know that there's been, years and years of gold suppression on the part of the central banks and the governments. And the intention was to keep the price down so it wouldn't make the governments look bad. And apparently, the forces of Russia, China, and the rest of the world were so great in demanding delivery of the physical gold. The powers that be here were apparently unable to keep controlling it. I mean, if they hadn't been suppressing gold, gold would probably be $5,000 an ounce or higher by now all these years. So maybe, the manipulation switch was broken and it's finally starting to take off a little bit. A lot of manipulation came out of the COMEX, the exchange in New York, where they were, contracts were being traded and sold without the backing of the physical current, physical gold behind it, forcing prices down. And of course, the physical accumulation by the foreign governments around the world. There's no question we broke out. I mean, a trading range that gold's been in now, for quite some time. Using a technical analysis, and these are just conservative numbers, you take a swing count, meaning, for example, if the gold market hit a peak, let's just round off numbers, you know, 1900 down to 1000, which has basically happened between 2011 and, I guess 2016, 17. That's about a 900 point correction. So I add that on to the top, the, 1900, and you get about 2800. So that's sort of my target. I think I mentioned 2700 in a previous broadcast. So just on a technical swing count, that's probably where we're headed, you know, over the near term. And that doesn't mean it can't go substantially higher than that. That's just a technical measurement. So, you know, the straw that broke the camel back broke, and now we're, you know, we're in a different phase here in the cycle. And the powers that be may not be able to manipulate the market as aggressively as they had in the past. So it looks okay to me. You know, things trade around, but I don't know if I'm really answering your question, but I think, you know, the powers that be, you know, have lost a lot of their power here in a real sense, and things have changed.
Does it make a difference that Joe Average and his family can now directly buy gold and silver at Costco and Walmart?
It does. It does. In fact, I was over at Costco the other day looking to buy some myself, just, and they didn't have any. They were out of stock, and they said some of the other stores may have it, and then I should just keep checking. So I think when they came out with the offer, you know, a lot of people jumped on it. They depleted supplies, and you know, I don't know how long it'll take for them to replenish it, or maybe only certain stores have it. But, yeah, I mean, that's certainly, you know, my first reaction was, you know, when the public jumps in and starts getting all excited about something, which they should have been excited about before, you start thinking, well, maybe this is a trading top, you know, people getting too exuberant at the wrong time. That was sort of my initial reaction. But, you know, the charts say, you know, we've taken down multi-year tops, and the swing measurement that I just mentioned, and the action of the bricks and all this in play, it says to me we're just in a new cycle now, and it'll probably last the rest of the decade, you know, up to 2030. So, you know, we got to be prepared for some swings. You know, we've seen gold swing $300-$400 and then go right back up again. So if you're going to Costco, you know, maybe you shouldn't do all your buying the first day. Figure that, you know, there will be, as in any market, as we just saw, for example, in Bitcoin and stuff, things move around, and you could average your entry point.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with crude?
Hit a little trading top. You know, I'm looking at the charts. It's extended, a bit. I'm not, you know, as a technician, as a trader, you say, well, you could sell, maybe buy back a little lower, and that the charts say maybe that is a possibility. But the, you know, the bigger trend is up, and, has been up here in recently. So I'm just, you know, still overall, you know, positive on the sector. I think, you know, if you're buying some of the names up here, you might want to consider, you know, dollar cost averaging if you're going to jump in here. My bigger issue is the state of the entire stock market right now, which I still think is nebulous. We're in this negative cycle. That's one of the reasons I encourage people to buy my forecast model, because it sort of gives you the swings for the year, what I'm looking for, and so forth. So in that type of environment, you know, liquidity sort of dries up and everything pulls back. So you'll see gold and silver pull back a little bit. You'll see crude oil pull back. You'll see Bitcoin pull back. You know, you'll just see, you know, a lot of liquidity issues start to arise. You know, even some of the big names like Taiwan Semiconductor and NVIDIA start to pull off, you know, recent highs, and the, you know, the big favorites that have been out there. Tesla's way down, you know, because of orders, but it's also formerly one of the big Magnificent Seven stocks. So you're just this environment where liquidity can affect the crude oil market and the oil stocks, because they're stocks. You know, they say that you throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, the market starts coming down. You know, there are times in history where the market collapses and gold goes down because people had to sell their gold to cover margin calls, or they needed the money, you know, for other reasons, and the other stocks weren't supplying it because they were going down. So I just think you're in this cyclical corrective phase now, and you know, I suppose something really blows up in the Mideast, that something super dramatic, and all oil is cut off, then maybe oil will stand out more than the other sectors, you know, in that type of environment. So I'm still a bull on it. I just think, you know, you're overextended and you're in this cyclical period here in the markets where you could be at a little bit of risk.
Canada and the U.S., well, Canada should be self-sufficient in oil, except in the East Coast, they don't want Western Canadian oil. They don't want pipelines. Quebec's against it, so they'd rather use oil from Saudi Arabia than Canadian oil. The U.S., now a net exporter of oil. A cutoff of oil, why should it affect prices here so much if it's the rest of the world that's short of it?
Really can't answer that question. You know, it's a manipulated market, as all financial markets are to a certain degree. Gasoline has been moving up here a little bit in price because crude oil has been going up a little bit in price. We didn't see the Biden administration reaccumulate the emergency oil reserve fund, which they had promised they were going to do. You know, there's so many, you know, variables out there. Saudi Arabia, are they going to continue to restrict production and try to keep prices up? You know, I just think the whole world reacts and benefits or suffers the same way in this type of situation, Jim. I don't think it's U.S., Canada, rest of Europe any different. I think it's one market, one big market, and everybody, you know, benefits when it's going up or suffers when it's going down, depending on what side of the market they're on. I really have, you know, no other comment other than we may be in a little bit of a corrective phase. But, you know, I've been talking for the last couple, 3 years, you know, that crude ultimately is heading up to $200 or $300 a barrel in the years to come because of the myopic viewpoints of the powers that be about restricting oil production and leases and all this nonsense. And even the public, as you know, has been reacting to the EV market by not buying the EVs and deciding that hybrid's really the way to go for all the reasons we've discussed about the expensive hybrid, the inability to charge it, waiting lines and so forth and so on. So the pocketbooks of the consumer really has dictated one of the reasons why the Teslas and the other EVs of the world have suffered here a little bit. That's a benefit to oil, you know, because people decide, well, that's still available and they may have to pay a little bit more for it, but at least they can get it. I don't know how else to react than I'm just thinking, you know, it's more of the same, and the market dictates the future of these companies and pricing.
Anything happening on the geocosmic front?
It's been a little quiet. I've been monitoring it. Nothing in particular. I would say that we have to keep an eye out for the lunar cycles. We've got a lunar cycle here coming up, I think, the 23rd of the month. We're in a period that's known as Mercury retrograde. I'm not an astrologer, but I used to floor trade years ago with some of these guys back in Chicago. And they told me about not only about the overlap of lunar events to the markets, which we discussed on these broadcasts before, regarding possible cyclical highs and lows, and also learning about seasonal patterns. You know, now we're going to be focusing on the we just came out of the vernal equinox, so we're going to be focusing on the summer solstice in the third week of June. You know, what kind of change point is going to be around that time frame? We certainly saw one around the vernal equinox. I mean, this is right about the time in March when, you know, Nvidia and all the big stocks reversed off their biggest highs. So we were coincident with some type of high point. So the question is, when we come into the summer solstice in the third week of June, is that going to be another big change point, high or low in the market? So I'm monitoring that. And going back to the Mercury situation I mentioned a moment ago, there's a tendency, and this is just chartable stuff. You know, this is not just stuff I came up with because I'm staring into the skies. I just look at the dates and try to correlate them with market activity. And it turns out when you get into a Mercury retrograde situation, like a lunar situation, you get changes of directions in the markets. And this all started with Mercury on April 1st, and it runs through the end of the month. So there may be some little change coming into May, perhaps, once that pattern exhausts itself. So we just watch these things to see if the market overlaps these cyclical patterns that are out there, and you can trace them back for centuries and just put them up on your chart and see how various markets respond. So we're in this very jumpy geocosmic period right now, and I think the market responded to that. And of course, we've had a lot of geopolitical events that came up. In my newsletter, I printed this whole list at the end of the letter every night, and we talked about this briefly last week about some of the negative events or dramatic events over the centuries that occurred during the month of April. So April is a very interesting month if you go back, look at history. So in terms of just events, a lot of wars begun in April, for example. So if you just go to the newsletter and you read down it, it's several pages of all the events in April that are not necessarily so positive. So we're in this period, and we just have to recognize it. And that's one of the reasons I became a little bearish and concerned. And we've been trading the short side with inverse indexes on and off here for the last couple of weeks, pretty successfully. And I guess we're going to come out of it at some point here. You know, is it going to wait for the summer solstice, or is it going to happen before then? There's all that old expression, sell May and go away. You know, I'm sure you've heard about that. Well, sometimes it starts in April, and maybe that's what this is all about. We're in just this corrective period and trying to offset this and trying to be optimistic to a certain degree. You know, you've got the presidential election here in the U.S. coming up, so you assume the powers that be at some point, once we get out of this period, we'll start a rally into the election period toward the end of the year. So watching the charts, watching the volume, trying to get a sense of sentiment, and at the moment negative, but it will change.
Mark, for people wondering where to spend their holidays, a new report just released by Berkshire Hathaway Travel Protection, Canada has been named the safest country in the world to visit in 2024. Second place, Switzerland. Third place, Norway.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay,
so come up and visit. You'll be safe.
I've always thought that. I've always thought that Canada is one of the greatest places on the planet, not only a beautiful country, but relative, even though we've got some crazy leaders in the country. Of course, we have them in all the countries, but it's still one of the greatest places. So I agree with you. Maybe I should spend my summer up in Alberta, your old homestead.
Mark, always fun chatting with you.
Thank you. Love talking to you, too.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.